Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin, JMJ Catholic Radio, bringing local and EWTN Catholic programming to northeastern and central Pennsylvania. Welcome to the In the Father's Hands program with host Mary Kate Grady. And Mary Kate's guest today is Deirdre Drinkle. Originally from Lake Mary, Florida, she is a 2021 graduate of St. Mary's College in Indiana, where she majored in economics and philosophy with a minor in Italian. And Deirdre is part of the 18th cohort of the ECHO program at the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame in Indiana, where she is pursuing a Master's of Arts in Theology and where she is as we speak. As part of her service in the ECHO program, Deirdre is spending the summer months studying at Notre Dame, and during the academic year, she is serving here in the Diocese of Scranton at St. Ignatius Parish in Kingston. Mary Kate?
Thank you so much, Jerry. Welcome back to everyone to our program In the Father's Hands. We're always so glad to spend this time with you during the week, so thank you for being with us. Just before we get started on our program, a couple things I wanted to say. We just celebrated Father's Day this past Sunday, and on Father's Day, I couldn't help but think of all the ways that the Heavenly Father has held us in His hands. The name of our program is In the Father's Hands, and so on Father's Day, I was thinking about how the Heavenly Father has held me and my life in His hands, and just being so grateful for that. And if you have some time this week during your prayer time, maybe just sit and reflect upon that in your own life, the way that the Father has provided and held you in His hands. And I also like to mention as well, you know, we mention pretty much every time about supporting JMJ Catholic Radio, and we're so blessed to have this program on JMJ. And something I just wanted to put in your mind was maybe this week you could take the opportunity to ask or tell somebody about JMJ Catholic Radio. Some people don't actually even realize here in the diocese that we have Catholic Radio, and a lot of people could benefit from all the programming that we have. So maybe just make it a goal this week to tell one person about JMJ. They can listen, of course, online or on just turn on the dial in your car or at your house, and maybe tell somebody about JMJ so they can be part of this great opportunity to learn about their faith and be encouraged. So I challenge you to take that opportunity this week. So let us turn to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, verses 27, when Jesus promises us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And I always love to think about this verse, just being held by the Father, and our lives are in His hands. We're always being guided and protected, and we thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your goodness to us. And I'm really excited today to have on our program Deirdre. Deirdre, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
I know that you're in school right now, so you have a lot going on. School can be pretty busy, so we appreciate you taking the time. Thank you.
Oh, it is a joy. I'm very excited to be here with you.
So, Deirdre, I always like to start off with my guests asking them a hard question, really. Actually, a lot of people have a lot of favorite scripture passages and verses, but if you would share one or some of them with us and just tell us why they're so important to you.
Yes, well, Mary Kate, you're right. It is a hard question. And I think it changes every day, too. But right before I answered the call to come on, I thought, oh, let's go back to my OG favorite Bible passage, which is the wedding feast at Cana. This passage just tugged on my heart in high school, just learning about the power of Mary's intercession, Jesus's first miracle, thinking about Jesus as the groom of our hearts, and just there's so much depth and richness to the wedding feast at Cana.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that story. Of course, what does the Blessed Mother say in that? Do whatever he tells you, right?
Yes.
So that's that's what we got to do.
Absolutely. And I love, you have saved the good wine until now, and just trusting that the Lord has better wine and better wine at each season of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a good point. It's, you know, I've heard it said at different times that, you know, we want good things in our lives, but God like wants better things. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we reach for those good things and we really want it and we're set on it, but to trust that if he's taking us in a different direction, that wasn't our plan, to trust that he's got the better wine.
Absolutely, yes. He has one that we can't even imagine how good it tastes yet.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I love that. And then the other thing I love is when the workers at the wedding fill the stone water jars with the water, it says they filled them to the brim. And that seems like such a little detail. They filled them to the brim, but really that is so important for us to do the best we can with what we've been given and then let God do the miracles, and how it's our job to fill the water to the brim, to give whatever we're doing the best we have, to pour ourselves into our relationships, our work, whatever it is, fill it to the brim, give it what we've got, and then let God do the rest.
That's beautiful. I've never even thought about that passage in there. Wait, that's amazing that you picked up on that, Deirdre. He was catching your attention there.
Yes, and at first it seemed like a little detail in the story. They filled them to the brim. Like, okay, great, cool.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I, as I always do with my guests, I sort of like to get to know about, you know, how has the Father held you in his hands in your life, Deirdre? How have you experienced him? How have you felt his presence?
Wow. Wow. Praise God. This is so good to reflect just on all the goodness and grace that God has blessed me with. I think what first comes to mind throughout my whole life is I've been so blessed to attend really great schools my whole life. I went to Catholic school from pre-K 3 till now. And so just the gift of my faith in the classroom was a really good starting point for me in understanding who God is, how much he loves me, and also the communities that form in places of faith, and how first we experience the love of the Father through earthly people, through our families, through our parents, and through school communities, classrooms, people in our lives, and mentors. And so I think the Father's held me in his hands from the very beginning with my beautiful family and the school communities that I've been blessed to attend.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the big like pivots in my life was in high school when I started getting more involved in campus ministry at my Catholic high school. And I had never really drifted from the faith throughout my life. You know, I was baptized, raised Catholic, mm-hmm. didn't stray too far, had a couple questions along the way, but mm-hmm. kind of was stayed on that path. But it wasn't till high school when I was really comfortable with, okay, I want to own this, and this is who I am, and I'm not going to be ashamed or afraid of it. And that came from some really powerful women mentors at my high school who just encouraged us and really showed me, like, wow, you can be Catholic and fun and and have a good time. And mm-hmm. to me, that was okay. I don't have to be afraid to hide my faith. I can share it with other people. And I think from that moment on, God really let me be the type of person who got involved with everything at campus ministry, even so far as doing a ministry graduate program. And right. I needed to see that in other people. I needed to see the faith lived out and to get to know them.
Yeah, it's funny how I don't think that we always realize what kind of influence we have on one another. And especially mm-hmm. when you're in high school, that's a pretty hard time, a lot of peer pressure, and it might depend on what school you're going to. But to have those people around you that are so committed and not afraid to say, like, this is who I am, and not only, you know, can you be fun as a practicing Roman Catholic, but it like enhances your personality almost, you know?
Yes.
Like, it frees you to really be yourself because... Mm-hmm. You know, you know you're a sinner, and you're able to, as a good Catholic Christian, you're able to be humble. And when you can be humble, that just opens a world of opportunity, really, you know.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You're not afraid to make mistakes. You're not afraid about making mistakes. You just go for it because you know that God's really in control, not you. So you're just going to fill the water jar to the brim, as you said earlier. So.
Oh, absolutely. And humility is so misunderstood today. I think, you know, we have this culture of girl boss, you can do anything, you know,
I don't
need a man, like that kind of
attitude.
Yeah,
no, I understand.
Permeating yeah. our culture. And really, like what you said, humility is the key, because I know that I'm in the Father's hands and that ultimately it's His job and He is going to work. And my job is to fill the water jug to the brim, do the best I can, and then to rest in that. Because if we are not resting in the Father's love, trusting in His love for us, then we are constantly grasping for the next best thing, the next thing that we think we want, when really God has already poured out all of His love for us, and we just need to rest in that in the moment.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. So how would you say, Deirdre, that He has led you to where you are now through these experiences that you had growing up and in high school? You know, now we're going to talk a little bit later here in the program about the ministry that you're involved in there at the University of Notre Dame. But what's kind of led you to where you are now and studying, pursuing theology?
Right. Well, you know, I never imagined myself as being the church lady, and that is really
what I'm doing,
and I love it so much. But I, you know, when, like I said, once in high school, I started getting involved more in campus ministry, and throughout college, these opportunities for ministry really just kind of found me. I would be asked by someone to help with a retreat or to be a mass coordinator in college, or little opportunities would find me, like being a catechist at a parish nearby. And I would take the opportunity. I would say, okay, of course, I'll help with whatever ministry. I don't want to say no. And I just started to fall in love with it. And I was like, wow, I really like talking about Jesus all day. And this is incredible. And the classes that I got to take in college, I studied philosophy. So a couple of those classes were more theological in nature. So those classes were my favorite. And we have such a rich faith. We could never stop learning about the faith. I was joking with some friends yesterday. The cohort that's a year older than me in ECHO, they just wrapped up their capstones, so their final presentations. And so I was saying to them, like, oh, you're a master in theology now. And we laughed at how ironic that statement is, because you never really master the study of God until the beatific vision. So it's always have more and more to learn. So for me, you know, looking towards how did I get to the ECHO program, really just falling in love with ministry throughout college and realizing that I can study theology and work in the church, and I don't have to be afraid of doing that, and I don't have to just stick to the economic side of my degree. I can go follow what I think God has called me to do. Right before applying to the ECHO program, I was getting, like most people my age, getting that fear of the future. Oh no, what am I going to do? I have to make sure I pick the perfect thing that God wants me to do. That kind of analysis paralysis, you know, of
That's
discerning.
A good way to put it.
Yes, getting paralyzed in the fear of the future. And so I love the saints so much, and I trust in their intercession, and I trust in their prayers. So I went to Mass one day. I said, all right, the next saint that I see pop up on the calendar, I am going to Mass, and I'm submitting my application to ECHO, and that's it. I'm going to hit send and not worry about it anymore. And so the feast day that I submitted it on was St. John Newman's feast day. And
that's,
so
in January, right?
Yes, January 5th, I believe.
Okay, yes, that's right.
And so in my mind, I thought it was John Henry Newman, who also a great saint, but it was not John Henry Newman's feast day. It was St. John Newman's feast day, which I did not know about who. I didn't know who he was. And so then I come to learn out later in the day that he was a missionary bishop to Scranton.
Yes, yes. He founded a couple churches in my area here, actually. So.
Oh, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought, oh, okay, well, that's a nice consolation, because I knew one of the possibilities for the ECHO program was to be placed in Scranton. There were 10 possibilities for placements for my year.
Okay.
And then 5 months later, to the day, and it was actually my birthday, and I found out that I was being sent to Scranton. So the minute I received my placement, I just knew that I was in the Father's hands, and I knew that St. John Newman was praying for me, and that God was with me, and that this was his will for me to spend the next 2 years doing service in Scranton. And it has been such a fun year. It has been amazing.
Nice. Now, tell us a little bit about, Deirdre, the ECHO program. Kind of what exactly is the ECHO program?
Right. So I was joking, one of our new ECHO students explained the program to a stranger on campus. And I said, wow, well, this you're a full ECHO member because you explained the program to someone else. There's quite a few moving parts in it. So it's a Master's of Arts program in theology. And we spend 2 summers at Notre Dame taking theology classes. And then we spend 2 years, 2 academic years, at a placement serving in a parish or at a Catholic school. So there's 2 tracks. There's a parish ministry track and then a teaching theology track.
Okay.
So
all right.
It is an awesome balance of service to the church, living in community, and theology, studying theology.
So do you do one track 1 year and one track the next year, or do you do a combination, or?
We are accepted on whichever track. So we spend 2 years on the same track.
Okay, I see. Mm-hmm. Now, have you spent 1 year, is that right, at St. Ignatius in Kingston?
Yes, so I spent this past year at St. Ignatius. And then I spent last summer at Notre Dame, and then this will be my 2nd summer at Notre Dame.
Okay, so then are you going to go back to St. Ignatius in the fall?
I will, yes. I get another year, Love it. It is such a wonderful parish, and it has been just so amazing to be there and to learn from Monsignor Tressler as my pastor, and he's also my mentor. So the ECHO program pairs you with a mentor at your placement, so that way you can learn ministry from someone who's been doing it for a while. And of course, there's a difference between lay ministry and ordained ministry, but I have just loved watching Monsignor Tressler shepherd his flock, and he has been so supportive in helping me grow as a lay minister.
Now, do you stay with a family in the area, or kind of how's it set up there for you?
Right. So they sent three of us to Scranton. So I live in a house with two other women who are serving in the diocese. Cecilia is at St. Catherine's in Moscow, and then Kylie is at St. Jude's in Mountaintop.
Okay.
And it's been such a gift to grow in community, to live with two other women who are doing the same ministry that I am, and we have a lot of fun together.
That's nice. And it's a good support system too, because in what you're doing, to have two other people that you can kind of like come back later in the day and share how things went, or just to bounce ideas off one another, that's a good setup you have.
It is. It's been awesome. And sharing our different stories and ideas, yeah, it's been an awesome year.
What kind of things have you been doing at the parish, Deirdre, there at St. Ignatius?
Yes. So I kind of laugh, because last summer when we spoke about the different possibilities for what ministry could look like, because really, I mean, there's so many different ministries you can do at a parish. And I always thought, you know, I think the one that I would be least comfortable with would be RCIA, because that is so much, you know, that's a lot of responsibility to teach someone the faith. And so I always thought maybe I won't automatically choose RCIA, especially if it's special circumstance RCIA, like, oh, someone needs confirmation before their wedding. Someone is just uncatechized and just wants confirmation, but they can't do it this day, you know, kind of when things get tricky.
Sure.
And that is what I do a lot of the time at my parish. And it has been such a great gift. I work individually with families and individuals going through RCIA. So this past year, I worked with 7 people receiving the sacraments, and it was so incredible to really get to know them on an individual, personal level. And then it was really a challenge for me in a good way, a stretching, a growing, because I was really able to use all these different resources and to come up with the best way to teach this particular person in front of me, which is not a luxury most parishes have, but that's been great. So RCIA has been a big part of what I do.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for coming to our diocese and doing that, Deirdre. That's so wonderful that you're doing that.
And it's been such a gift. I always say, wow, I get to talk about Jesus all day. Like, that's just not fair.
Well, I guess that's what heaven's going to be like, though, isn't it? We're just going to be focused on God all day.
Exactly. So. I thought, wow, I wish the whole world got to do what I do, because I love it so much.
That's wonderful. If you wouldn't mind, just real quick, if there's anybody out there that would be interested in the ECHO program, or they have children or grandchildren, how would they get information about that or find out how to sign up for that?
Right. So I believe it's probably echo.nd.edu. If you just Google search ECHO Notre Dame, it will come right up. And our recruiting director is amazing, Scott Boyle. So he would be the one to talk to. So if you search Notre Dame ECHO, and you will find Scott Boyle's information, and he would love to have a conversation with you about ECHO. And what I love about the ECHO program and anything the McGrath Institute for Church Life does, everything's a discernment. They pray through everything. And the program is not like, oh, let me try to go apply for this or that. It's really, let's pray about what God is calling you to do, which is what attracted me to the program. And our application process was really more like a prayer, which was beautiful.
Right. That's wonderful. Yeah, that program sounds great. Hopefully if people hear about it, or if I would know of somebody or any of our listeners that you think would benefit from being in that program, that they could really help the church, and their own personal growth and their faith, definitely will pass the word along for that. So
awesome. Yes. Yeah. And it's been amazing. And we also get to try our hand at a couple different ministries too, and to just see where we feel the Holy Spirit most. And it's really great, especially discerning after ECHO opportunities. Okay, is RCIA my thing? Do I like teaching my fourth graders more? Do I like young adult ministry? All these different opportunities to listen to God's call in our lives.
Right. Yeah. And the beautiful thing is like God has a individual call for each of us. You know, He's had this call for you, like ever since before you were born, Deirdre, you know, and now you're getting to live that out. But the main thing about it is like He's doing it in us, right? So that takes the pressure off, and we launch into these things that seem impossible. It's going to be okay, because He's had us in His hands, you know. And thank you so much for coming to serve our diocese. You're a missionary to our diocese, really. So you're just like John Newman. You're a missionary to Pennsylvania. So thank you so much for doing that. And God bless your work, you know, and know of our prayers, and please keep us in the diocese in yours.
Thank you so much, Mary Kate. I will keep you in my prayers and your program. This is so beautiful. What a beautiful title, In the Father's Hands. And just
the Holy Spirit threw that one my way. I wouldn't have come up with that on my own, Deirdre. Thank
and
God.
what a beautiful reminder that we all need and that we all can rest in.
Absolutely. All right. Well, God bless you, Deirdre, and we will look forward to being with you all again. God bless, and bye now.
Thank you, Mary Kate. God bless.
Thank you.